Welcome to the Real People Podcast, where we use our minds to analyze matters through conversation from the positive male perspective. Here are your hosts, Doug and 12.
I am Doug Harris, and my partner in crime, the co-host on this owner's boat, Rad of Oz, is my homeboy 12. Introduce yourself, good brother.
What up, man? 12, Mr. LTC. Currently in my professional life, I am the assistant program and content director for B96.5 and Magic 101.3 in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's all right. You broke your whole thing there.
Yeah, man. Now what do you do professionally? Because I'm pretty sure
I am a partnership manager for a university. So I go around and I basically talk to businesses about how to utilize their education benefits to retain their employees for the most part, and how to show them how to work with vendors and vendor relations and things of that nature, which most people don't know how to use their vendors and companies. So, yeah, that's what I do for a living, man. This is what I do.
Now, I love to be along this ride with you, but this was definitely your brainchild, of course, the People Podcast. And I guess you really wanted to start off today, Doug, by, you know, letting people know what this entire objective is, right? Now, if somebody is seeing this podcast for the first time, they might be looking back from years of content. Yeah. They might see something they love. But coming back to this first, you know, to explain what this is all about, what would you say this is all about?
Really, man, it's, you know, you and I, we talk a lot. A lot of our friends, we talk a lot. And we have these conversations where it's just us as males, right? And we're in a climate right now where it feels like that everything that males do, right, it's just bad. It's wrong. You know, we can't do anything right. And then it starts to take a toll on you as a man. Like, you start feeling like almost to a point of where you start feeling like, you know, maybe I am messed up. Maybe I am this. Maybe I am that. Because it's all being drilled into you on a constant and consistent basis, right? So we have to have a forum for us as men to be able to communicate and dialogue, address the issues we want to address. Real life issues, though. Not necessarily who's going out with who and what celebrities dating who. That's not where we're at necessarily. What we're talking about is things that us as men deal with on an everyday basis. Topics like chat. Child support, topics like, you know, friends that you've outgrown or friends that have come home from like jail or penitentiary and they're having a struggle with reacclimating to everyday life. Like, these are problems that real people, which is, you know, where we're coming from, that real people have. So we're pro male, but we're not anti-female.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with the mindset at the beginning of the show to explain is that this is coming from the positive male perspective. First of all, you know, we're not casting our opinions on the world and saying that things are law.
Absolutely.
And this is also not coming from the opinion of every male.
Absolutely.
Every man.
Absolutely.
You know, it's coming from the positive male perspective.
Which is absolutely. Which is something we don't have a lot of forums for, I don't think, now, you know. Just my opinion.
Well, there is no form for it.
Right.
If you look at the way society is designed, there's not even a place for us to vent.
Right.
There's not even a space for us to, and you know, people might say we're soft, things like that, but to express our emotions or our feelings.
But that's the problem. When did that become necessarily soft, though, right? Because I know we grew up thinking that men can't show emotion, right? That's the nature of it. Emotions for your mom or emotions for your sister, whatever. Like, we're not supposed to do that. But does that help us or does that hurt us in the long run out of bigger scheme of things?
It hurts us, but I think that we need to take time and understand that spirit was born out of self-preservation. It was born out of a time coming out of slavery and around World War I and World War II, where our parents were very harsh on us and very strict and tried to prepare us emotionally for a very harsh world, especially us as men. And we only learned one tone on how to speak from it, and which is a disciplinarian tone.
Right.
So we don't even, as parents, we never even learned how to talk to our kids in a certain way. Everything comes from a disciplinarian type of tone. So our relationships are shattered from the beginning because it all comes from some form of discipline. It all comes from a form of, I got to prepare you for this world that's going to eat you alive, right?
True.
So this entire thing was born out of a spirit of self-preservation.
True.
Now, as we move into a more progressive life, and we talk about women's empowerment and independence, society has made a flip and made it seem like men having emotions makes us soft and,
right.
and all these things. The contrast in that, which is always funny for anybody who considers themselves a believer in God or Christ and those natures, that if you really believe that the woman was created from the man and it came from our rib, then you have to believe that as a woman, everything inside of you came from us. So it is completely unnatural as a woman to not expect something from you if it came from us.
That's a very valid point. I never thought about it from that perspective, but that's a very valid point. You know what I mean? So I guess because of that, though, going back to from a religious standpoint, I think, is it kind of just shows that we have to work together for things to work, right? But once it went awry, right?
Correct.
So then you have to look at, okay, so women have a venue to be able to go and do what, you know, not in terms of forms like this.
Correct.
They have venues they can go and communicate and talk about. You got the talk on television. You got the view.
The red table.
They've got, you know, there's places where it's at. But how many times do you see us as males get to do those type of things, right? So this would be like our version of the red table, right? But at the end of the day, the subject matter and everything we discuss will make us better men, which at the end of the day will make us better for our women.
Correct.
Because we've had somewhere to go and vent these things and go, okay, so 12, you know, I'm going through this today, I'm going through that. Well, how many other people are going through that, right?
Well, and I think a lot of women, I would think in time would support this format because
agreed.
It's a format that's based on self accountability.
Agreed.
There will be no women bashing. There will be no right. anti-feminism. It's really going to be on us as men holding ourselves accountable for our own actions and our own disciplines and how we can be better, knowing that we can't change the other factor in the equation other than us.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that is what the Real People Podcast is all about. It's just really picking a topic and us coming together from two different perspectives, both the male perspective, but also from two individual perspectives on what we're dealing with, what we view in society that tends to bother us that we don't have the opportunity to let that out. We want to be able to come on here and just pick random and just let the conversation kind of go for itself, which is, I think, is the best way because it's more natural. When we talk all the time, it's always a natural conversation. So this is only just taking what we do every day
yeah, exactly.
and just putting it out there and kind of just saying, man, this is what I'm going through. Like you and I talk about things, you know, we had started off having a conversation about something we were going to go totally different. But here's a good conversation that we can both relate to. Therapy is an excellent conversation.
Excellent.
Right?
One that everybody needs to have.
One that everybody needs to have, right? So I go to therapy, you know, 100%, and I appreciate it. At first, I was nervous about it. I was a typical black male, right? I walk in the office. I ain't about to go in here ratting. I'm Tony Soprano. I'm about to go in here, you know what I mean? I'm about to go and tell my little story. I don't know this lady. She going to tell me, I don't know you. You going to give me your opinion. You don't know my life, what I've experienced, what I've gone through. You know, are you listening to me? Or are you more intrigued by my story? Which one is, you know, are you, which one is it, right? So I went to like three or four different therapists before I found the right therapist, right? So the first one was what I felt like was a therapy groupie. You're right. So let me tell you what that means. That's my breakdown of this.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I've never heard of that.
I went in there, right? I'm sitting down with the lady. I'm in the chair. And she's like, so what do you want to talk about? So I start dialoguing. And really, and I'm transparency, right? So what I was dealing with at that time, right, is my kids are getting older, right? I've worked so hard, but Have I spent the time I want to spend? Did I teach them how to fish? You know, I know it sounds silly, but it's little things you start to question. Have I, you know, can they change their oil in their car? Have I taught them how to do the small things that, or did I just work? You know, did I miss a lot? It was a weird transition.
It almost
I guess.
Seems like not to cut in, but yeah. You're asking yourself that if your time was to be cut short, are they prepared?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you get to a point to where you question a lot of different things, right? But then your childhood kicks in. So I didn't have dad as a child, right? So my childhood was very different. you know, Beecher Terrace had a lot to do with that upbringing. The West End had a lot to do with that upbringing. The East End, for a few years, had a lot to do with that upbringing. So you see a lot over the years when you're living with a single mom, right? You see a lot of different things, different boyfriends, different situations. You see a lot of things. So, you know, you carry the things that you see, but you don't really know how to express them, right? So me going to therapy was a combination of dealing with everyday life and really questioning if I had done my job the way I need to do my job. And then also questioning, not even questioning, but dealing with the things that have sit and festered for years and years and years. And I even called you, right? And I'm like, bro, I'm going to therapy. And then you started talking about doing different things, right?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we're having the same conversation.
The same one.
Right. And then we both at the end of it are like, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better.
Well, you know, you know? The most interesting thing about therapy is, and I think that it could help whoever's listening to this podcast who's seeking therapy,
yeah,
especially since you found a good one.
Yeah.
I would say here's a good sign of an excellent therapist.
Right.
And this is from my perspective, and you could agree or you could add on.
Absolutely.
And disagree.
Absolutely.
But the best telltale sign of an excellent therapist is when you find the person that helps you ask yourself the questions that you were afraid to ask yourself.
Absolutely.
And gets you to answer them. That
Absolutely.
Is the person
right.
that can help you move along.
But I agree with that. And it took me four to find that. First one was, oh, your life is crazy. You know, made me feel like she was going to call the police on me. So I had to get up out of there quick. Like, I'm like, why you keep asking me questions about what happened? Like, what's the crime? And I'm like, I saw a lot. You know what I mean? But I just didn't feel comfortable. Now I got to this fourth one and he did just what you said right there. Right. So I went through a couple other ones. They just the comfort level wasn't there. And that's a big factor. I have to be comfortable enough to ask myself the question and to be comfortable enough to say, OK, this is once I ask the question and I decide to answer that question. Right. I have to be comfortable enough with you to know that the buck stops here. That when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you with just you and I.
Right.
I'm not thinking about like I was with some of the other therapists. Like when you walk out of here, you're going to go home and tell your wife everything I just told you.
Yeah.
So this dude I got now, he kind of caught me into something where when I started talking about my childhood, it was, I don't know, he hit a trigger. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That it was kind of like, I didn't look at it from that standpoint.
That's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
Because what an excellent therapist knows, and it's something that I tried to adopt, is that this person that's in my office right now,
mm-hmm.
everything they are is a result of everything they've seen,
mm-hmm.
witnessed, and experienced up until this moment.
Absolutely.
And when you're describing your prior troubles to this individual, how you and what you're ultimately facing,
mm-hmm.
they're looking through the layers of your life to figure out what causes you to do this way.
Right.
If you're having relationship problems, what's causing you not to make that loving connection or Truth. Not to be able to speak to your parents? Because what they'll do is they know that there's something along the way.
Truth.
That forced that perspective. And therapy allows you to see those things and to help deal with it. Well, I did something amazing a couple weekends ago. It was the weekend after I ran my first mini marathon. And I felt amazed.
That's
I was like, well,
right
I
there,
actually
boy.
Had the, I actually did something that I didn't think that I would be able to do before.
Right.
But it gave me a different type of strength. So the next day, I did something that I felt was amazing for my own healing.
Okay.
I went to two grave sites that I had never went to by myself.
Okay.
First grave site I went to was the grave site of Derek Smith. I hadn't been there since he had passed it off.
Okay.
23 years.
Okay. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The
okay.
other one was the grave of Static Major, who was somewhere, you know, was close mentor of me.
Wow.
I did both of these on the same day. And when I was entering the cemetery, you know, I started to try to understand why I was there.
Yeah.
You know, because some of my life coaches and therapists in the past, they always say that there's a lesson in everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I'm driving through and I'm asking myself, what's the lesson? And here was the lesson that I received, right?
Right.
Every headstone that I saw,
yeah,
every layout, every slate, all those people's time is up.
Yeah.
And while I'm here, my time is now.
Absolutely.
And I have no time to waste. And that was one of the most powerful lessons that I was ever revealed to me, even right. in that moment. My time is now. Like, I'm not too old.
Right.
I'm not too young.
Right.
I'm not underprepared. I'm not. My time is now, because the moment I end up next to that stone,
yeah,
I can't contribute to anything more that I
do. Yeah, whatever's here is here.
And the other two things that I did was when I went to the first grave site.
That's interesting, though, man, that you that's interesting. You know what I mean? That you went the same day, though. And, like, it was I don't know. You don't hear that too
well,
often.
Well, I mean, yeah. because you know what? We can delay our healing, bro.
Yeah.
We can, but with inaction. We stop a lot of things with inaction. We don't start businesses because of inaction. We
right.
don't start new classes and new ventures because of inaction.
Right.
And I wanted to, and I got to a point to where I told myself, if something's good for me
mm-hmm.
and I can do it right now, I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah. I love that.
And I took that action. And what ended up happening is when I went to Durr's grave.
Right.
I was like, okay, I see the lesson.
Yeah.
Right. And this and the reason I'm telling all this is because I'm telling you how healing and self and therapy and all these things.
No, man, this is what this is. Yeah, this is what it's about, though.
Working on yourself.
Right.
Your own healing. Recognizing
right.
these things.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I'm at the cemetery.
Yeah.
I'm seeing all these things. I said, we're going to have a funeral today.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to bury my past.
That's huge. I'm going to tell you something, bro. That is just to reiterate, this is the Real People Podcast, where we do use our minds to analyze matters through conversations from the positive male perspective. What we're talking about is therapy. And I agree with you, man, because if for me, first of all, bro, I applaud you for doing that, right? Because I didn't realize it had been that long. It don't even seem like it's been 23 years, right? Since he, since Derek.
Yeah, since Derek passed.
It don't
yeah.
even seem like that long. But and there are people who I've lost who I have yet to go. Like, my grandfather was like my daddy. So I have yet to go to his gravesite since he passed. And that's something I know that I'm going to have to do and take my time to go do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have to go eventually. But it's just, I don't know. I don't know why I haven't made the jump
Man,
yet.
You know what?
I don't know why I haven't. I think I'm nervous about it because I feel like it's finalization for some reason.
Take this
I don't
moment,
want it to be that.
If I could take this moment to share with you when I felt
mm-hmm.
when I did that.
Do it.
Is that, man, you delaying your healing.
That's real.
You waiting on a time that's never going to come.
That's real.
It's never going to be comfortable. It's never going to feel good.
Right.
It's never going to be okay.
Right.
And your healing comes when you push yourself past that and you make yourself face that, bro. Yeah. So I can honestly say for somebody who just did it,
yeah.
it's not going to happen. You have to make it happen.
Make it go and push
and it. Once it happens, man, right. you'll have the confidence to start dumping off more stuff.
Yeah.
You'll have the confidence to start facing more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, for real, it's amazing.
Man, you know, hearing you talk about it, it seems like it was a weight off, you know, when you finally walked out of there, that it was, because I know you and Static were very close, and I know you and Derek were very close. That was your mentor, you know, I mean, coach, a little bit of everything, you know, so, I understand how difficult that is, and I think that's what I've been kind of waiting on, to be honest, is there a right time, you know, and I feel like I want to leave it with the last memory that I had, so I don't want to go necessarily to the because he's in a mausoleum, right? So it's not even as complicated, you know what I mean? Because you're walking into a building and you would think it would be whatever, but my mindset is always on, I want to leave it at the last good memory. And I guess what I was thinking, and here's what's crazy, when I went to therapy, I brought that up. Right. I told my therapist, I was like, and not even I went, but it was a particular session where I brought that up. And he said something similar to what you said. Right. And he was kind of like, you know what? You know, you've convinced yourself that by you going to the gravesite or going to his mausoleum, that you have it's going to destroy the memories that you had prior to. But those memories aren't ingrained. They're in stone. So you're, and he basically said what you said. You're kind of running away from certain things, and then you're justifying it by saying that this is the reason, right?
Yeah.
But that ended up being the reason for a lot of different things that I was doing as well, right? Like, I can remember telling my son, I said, when I was younger, I used to always tell my mom, I said, you know, when I lost a friend, and I said, I'm gonna always tell my mother I love her, right? Because I don't ever want to be that dude to leave, and I never had a chance to say I love you, right? So I lost a homeboy. I'm like 13 years old. We was in the East End Projects. It was crazy. Shepherd Square at the time. And young cat, man, he got shot. Young cat. And I had just met this dude. We all went to the same churches, our grandparents and everything did, which was Grace Hope Presbyterian Church, right, up in the East End. So we had just met each other on some cool stuff. Dude got, he got shot, right? And I remember the first thing I thought about was, I wonder if he had a chance to tell his mother he loved her. You know what I mean? Or his brothers and his sisters. I wouldn't even get a chance to ever say that. Here's my point with that. I went through a period where, even with my own sons, bro, I don't know, man. It was just like, I always felt like I had to be the tough daddy. You know what I mean? The one that was, you know, it's just, and, you know, come here, boy, boom. And, and we just go be aggressive all the time, right? And then I have an older son that has ADHD. So I had to realize that that doesn't work for him, right? So I told my therapist, I was like, I guess one of the things that I struggle with the most is really knowing how to show my emotions and my feelings. When you said it earlier about being whatever, I'm like, you know, because with your children, you know, I don't care how tough you are in the street and how gangster you are, bro. Everybody tosses their kids in the air when they little and they want to go outside and throw the football around with them. And I've seen some dudes that done did some crazy stuff with their kids, you know, got them out here with bandanas on. And all. You know, yeah, it's silly, man. You know, they're having them cussing people, you know, go up to them and call them a name. You know what I mean? And we're on a podcast, so we could say what's really on our mind. But, you know, I don't want no little 3-year-old boy coming to me talking about suck my dick, bro. I don't want that. You know what I mean? And I got friends who would have their friends go up to them and say, like, man, that's not, you know what I mean? That's not you being a good father. You teaching them to be a man. That's not what you teaching them, bro. You're not. So I had to learn that it was okay to tell my boys, like, man, I love y'all. You know what I mean? Y'all my rock. Y'all hold me down. And y'all can come to me about anything, because if you can't tell your daddy, what benefit do I get out of it for you to go out here and cause harm to yourself or somebody else? What does that do for me and your mother? What does that do? Right? But for some reason, I went through a weird phase of where I just felt like I had to be hard on them all the time. You know what I mean? And, you know, it took my therapist to say, well, that come from, you know, how he put my childhood in relation to my kids and the way that I grew up. And what I was craving when I was growing up was stability and discipline, because I had a single mama who was 17 when she had me. So she was still trying to live her life, right, at 17, which is normal, right? So I was craving that. So what I did with my own kids is I provided stability, right? But I think I sometimes went overboard on the discipline. You know what I mean? And that don't mean physical all the time, but even, you know, just everything just being like, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do that, and not enough of saying, man, you know, I love you. You know what I mean? Or, let's go out here and go fishing and just chop it up. Or let's go outside and toss the baseball around. Stuff I thought was corny. Stuff you only see on Leave It to Beaver.
Right.
You know. But therapy helped me realize, man, that I was holding in a whole lot of stuff from 0 to 13 that I just never let go of. And then once I started letting it go, it provided a better relationship, not only with my kids, but with my family, my mother, having to, you know, those things where she was still growing up. So therapy is definitely something that I would recommend for anybody. You know what I'm saying? I think it's something that we have to learn how to break that, break the discomfort level, you know, and start realizing that we all need to talk to somebody who's objective, not the dude you grew up with, not always talking to your partner. Hate to say it like this, it's not anything to be anti anything, but sometimes even going to your pastor is not always, you know, sometimes you need to go to somebody who's objective. The person you went to see, they didn't know you. You see what I mean? They didn't know you. So it was easier because you didn't feel like you were being dissected. This person doesn't know me. But when you know that person, you start feeling like you just saying stuff that you've been feeling.
You know, and one thing with this, and I know we're going to be closing shortly.
Yeah.
But in terms of us as men,
mm-hmm.
identifying therapists, I don't want to make this comment to offend anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's been many instances of my peers as black men
mm-hmm.
who have had black women therapists who have not had positive experiences. They felt judged. They mm-hmm. felt talked down to. They didn't feel like they could be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
When they talked about their past and the things that they went through, you know, these women weren't very empathetic.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these men, when they dealt with some of these women therapists, ended up leaving feeling worse than they did when they came in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would even say, you know, if you're a male of color,
mm-hmm.
to either make sure you see a male therapist or see a female therapist outside of your race. Yeah. You want somebody who doesn't know you, who won't judge you, who doesn't have a perspective. You know, no disrespect, Queen Black Woman, if you listening, but there's a side of you even as a therapist to where when you see us, you're triggered. And you have your own negative responses mm-hmm. and emotions. And when we get to talking about some of the things we went through and did, then you start seeing yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
And you reliving yours. And now you're bringing your relationship to my therapy session.
Right. That was my first therapist. That's what that was. And I hate to say it. I didn't want to say that at first, initially, but that's what it was, right? And it was more of I felt judged. You know, and I hated that feeling, man. I did. I went through literally two or three different ones. And I'll say this as well. A couple of them, you know, the in between there. The one I have now is a black male, right? So he was able to kind of, you know, point me in a different direction, not only based on my experiences, but experiences he's gone through as well. So sometimes that's beneficial, right? But the other three that I had. The first one, you know, I hate to use that term again, therapy groupie, but she was so intrigued with the story. And then she started kind of throwing out comments that I didn't understand where those came from. I'm like, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? So exactly. When I walked out of that day, I knew that this wasn't the one. The second one was an older lady. I believe she was from Pakistan, I believe. And we just had a language barrier. That's being honest. I don't know if she was good or bad. I couldn't tell you. But it was just like I felt like I was repeating myself a whole lot. And that gets annoying. So it wasn't anything against her. It just wasn't that we were a good fit for each other. The third one, I just felt like, nice guy, but you were 74 years old. You grew up in a different era. Not to say you can't relate, because I know some people 74 that can really relate. This guy was just out of touch. He just couldn't understand any aspect of my life. Like, you know, your mom was a single mother. Like, he thought that was just ridiculous. You know, I mean, you grew up in the projects. What is that? Like, you know. Dude was just like, he was not feeling it. You know what I mean? So we cut that one down. And then when I finally got with this last one, it was a brother, right, who I did not, who was actually recommended to me by another, you know, was recommended by a friend, right? So he told me, he said, this guy's good. Normally, I don't recommend my therapist because I don't like sharing my therapist with somebody else. You know, he felt like it was going to be something odd. But you're right, going back to your point, I felt a different kind of comfort level with that. The way we were able to talk to each other was different because he understood my life from not only being the child of a single parent, which helped me a lot, because he kind of said our stories mirror each other, but I kind of understand, you know, I get why you felt the way you felt in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Because you almost feel like you're the man of the house at a young age, and you're trying to hold on to too much, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to take over almost when you're 12 and 13 years old, and your mom is still young, and you're trying to figure it out. You go, okay, so what can I do to offset some of the things that she's going through? And then you end up taking on too much to be at that age, and it makes you grow up so much faster than what you were ready to grow up. You miss out on certain things.
So what happened in your case, so people know the difference between identifying the difference between the struggles that you had mm-hmm. with your female therapist and your male therapist, was a simple breakdown in basic communication. And
absolutely.
You should always seek to understand, then be understood.
Right.
It appears that in your first situation, you were judged.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was no understanding. There was no trying to figure out why you felt that way, mm-hmm. why you reacted that way. There was finger pointing.
That's exactly what judging. That's what it was, which is what you, back to your original point. You know what I mean? You're right. Back to your original, because that was the part that made me feel uncomfortable. And like I said in the beginning of the conversation, I didn't want to say, okay, this is a black female. And because not every black female is going to be on that level. But the one that I met and the therapist that I had, she was more like, and, you know, almost like you should know better kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't come in here for you to chastise me. Yeah, I came in here to get something off my chest.
Like I'm
it's
your
a little
son,
different.
Which is a whole nother issue that we could talk about later.
Right. That's another topic.
But in conclusion with today, you know, with the Real People podcast, where we use our minds to analyze matters through conversations from the positive male perspective.
Right.
We gave you a rundown of what our show is about.
Yeah.
And we talked about therapy. And just to leave you off with a few simple nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You might not hit it at the park when you're selecting your therapist.
Yeah.
But you know that you have an excellent therapist when a person is asking you the tough questions that you've been afraid to ask yourself, and you actually start to answer, and you get with a person who seeks to understand, then be understood.
Yeah. That leaves it where it's at. I don't have to add nothing to that. That's perfect. Says it all. And don't be ashamed to go to therapy. Don't run away from getting help. You know, it's a good thing. And not only for you, but recommend, you know, for other people, you know, because everybody needs to have somebody to talk to. You know, everybody needs that. So don't run away from it. Run heads up with it and deal with it and face the problem and the issue. And you will be a much better person once you've gotten that off your chest.
Now, remember, you can experience this Real People podcast anywhere in the world through any of the streaming formats.
Yeah.
If you're watching this on YouTube right now, make sure that you like this video and hit the subscriber button.
Absolutely.
We'll be providing more great content for you. No, it's the Real People podcast, where we always use our minds to analyze matters through conversations from the positive male perspective. Not just any male perspective.
Real people do real things.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Love it, love it.
Let's see how we did, please.